Sounds good.
Thank you, and I'm sorry I missed some of that.
Hey, don't worry about it. It'll all work out.
Four, three, two, one.
God.
We're done with the auction. Thanks, everybody, for bidding. I will announce who won what later on when Cindy tells me to.
We've got you on the program. Don't worry.
Cindy.
Thank you. All right, Mika. Here's the microphone. And we'll need it again, I think, to run it to Danette.
Delivering what? Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, the thing is, I know Donna needs one. My mom needs one, too. Well. Yeah, I'm doing good. So they got Donna an assistive listening device, but I think we misunderstood. I wanted to make one for Mom as well. Oh, I didn't work. She was replaced with everything she's got on it. But they do a lot of it. They're broadcasting from across the hall, which is weird. But Tim, ask Donna about
Chris?
Yeah.
Get started.
I know. They always eat first. They never wait. I know. I had to reboot my note taker. Great. Okay, good. All right. When we start eating, maybe come back a little bit, whatever. We're all good, though.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me have your attention. I know you've been very attentive all day, and
A few people were on their feet all day. The rest of us were on our something else all day. But here we are again. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can have your attention in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to the 25th anniversary banquet of the Washington Council of the Blind. Give yourselves a hand. What a great organization, and I'm so proud to be a part of this organization. I'm a part of some others around the country, but tonight, WCB, it's you. I'd like to begin. Let me have your attention. Let me have your attention, please. We want to begin the ceremony tonight with the invocation, if I might. And then we're going to hear a beautiful song. But to give us the invocation is Donette Dixon. She's president of the Greater Everett Area Council of the Blind. Donette, when you get a mic, you're on. See, I had to get you first. I'm afraid of people eating their food before the invocation. So now, no one did that, right? No one has had a bite of anything yet, right? I didn't see a thing, that's right. All right, so for the invocation, Donette Dixon. You can stay right where you are. Greater Everett Area Council of the Blind. She's getting a mic right now.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord God, we just thank you for how far we have come within the last 25 years. Lord, we thank you for the friendships that we have made and the new friendships that we are making this weekend. Lord, we look forward to the next 25 years and to see where you would lead us. And Lord, we thank you for this food and just bless it to our bodies in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much. Well done. Well done. Now, you want to hear a song? Okay. Me too. And we have the none other than the incomparable TV star, singer par excellence, Miss Mika White is going to do... Meek is going to sing for us, God Bless America.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean wide with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Oh, man, that was beautiful.
That was worth coming in.
On tune, on pitch. Thank you so much for that, Mika. It was beautiful. Let me announce the head table, and you can start eating if you want to. We're not eating up here, of course, but y'all can eat out there if you want to. Let me introduce the head table right quick, and if I can ask you, you can go ahead and hold your applause until the end so we can get this done, because we're hungry up here, too. So on the left, starting on my far left, or on your far right, ladies and gentlemen, a quiet, behind-the-scenes, wonderful participant of WCB, John Amateur. And next to John is Sue Amateur, who you're going to be hearing from later on. And I'm going to be sitting next to Sue. She's going to be giving me my marching orders, you know, this evening for the next year or two. And so then we have the podium. You needn't, clap for the podium here. Next to the podium, on the right-hand side, is Cindy Van Winkle. Her husband, Tim. Then a representative from the ACB Board of Directors, Mr. Jeff Tom from California. And finally, we have our own Gaylynn Floy. She's president of the South King County Council of the Blind. Ladies and gentlemen, give the head table a hand if you would. Wonderful. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break now. I'm going to leave the mic. I may come back now and then just for a comment or two, but we're going to take a break now for dinner. Enjoy yourselves and enjoy this wonderful celebration we're having tonight. Now, Cindy, do you want me to do
hot tea?
Tea. Okay.
Hot tea?
I have that sitting right here. Yeah, I do. I do. Okay. Yeah, and I'm going to embellish on that a little bit, too, if you don't mind. All right. Dropped my cane back there by the wall.
You were right. I know.
Delicious.
See what I have to do?
Would you like a Coke, Pepsi? Yes, Pepsi? Okay.
How about you?
Alicia, you want a Pepsi?
No, thank you.
You sure?
Yes.
7-Up.
Hey,
I'm buying
good.
I'm just feeding. Anybody else besides me? Okay. Two Pepsi. Well, one guy.
Thank you. think so. And she goes, the girl in the white, which is her boss, in the red jacket, right? And she says, give her the soda. So I says, do you take, she says, oh, we can't take tips, but if you leave one on the counter there, oh. So I says, fine. So I left her $5.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, $10 for two things. One was a small glass with a water glass. Are you cold?
I'll be all right.
Can you move it?
I have one. It's a big one. I have one. The jeans jacket. I don't know how comfortable it is. But the jeans is different. Okay, I'm not sorry. Well, don't suffer because that's I won't. I don't know. It's a little thin on me because everything is. You know, it's not pretty bad, by the way. It's so gross.
I could never stop loving listening to you.
Oh, thank you.
The locator can't bring me the tears, but he can.
No, I can't believe it. That's right. I watch a show called Locator. He finds, like, adopted parents.
Oh.
He finds the children that have been adopted.
Oh, man, those guys tear at my heartstrings, man.
And I love this guy named Troy Dunn. And he's got a couple of shows. And some are old, and some are older. And he's got a little bit. I watch them all the time before I watch them. And I sit there, all my sister are with me, and watch them. And I just, every single one, I fall. And I look at my mom, and she doesn't even drop a little bit. Nothing dry.
Not even fair.
Nothing. She just all pointed out to me, and she had tears coming from her face. And she looked like she said that.
Ladies and gentlemen, is anybody in the mood for a door prize? Oh, see, I'm not just anybody. It sounds like everybody's in the mood for a door prize. Okay. So, door prize drawers and all that, are you ready?
We are ready.
All right, you're ready. Take it away.
Okay, we have $25 from the South King Council of the Blind.
All right, $25.
Kevin Daniel.
Kevin, you here? Oh.
No? Oh, okay. Oh, I love this
Kevin,
part.
Kevin, maybe next year. See, you could have had half your banquet paid for, dude. Sorry.
That's right. Mike O'Neill. Mike O'Neill?
Weird.
All right, so sad. Moving along.
Okay, yeah, move along. We got a lot of people who are here, so.
Yeah. Tim Van Winkle.
Well, Tim. After all these years, Tim, you finally got something. How about that? Let's do one more.
Oh, okay.
So, no, they threw your name out, buddy.
One moment. You guys don't want to be extra quiet.
Can you give it to Chelsea?
Yep.
Jefferson County Council.
Okay,
for this group,
who's
they
ready?
Are pretty quiet.
We have $20 from the United Blind of Seattle.
Or Tri-Cities. You know.
United Blind of Tri-Cities.
Yeah, the Tri-Cities, which, you know, we're neighbors, right? Patty Eaton.
Hey, Patty Eaton.
Please put your hand up.
I'm sure she's here. She was coming this way earlier when I was getting out of the elevator. All right, we'll come back with more door prizes and a lot more activities here in a little bit. Thank you. It's good, Cindy?
all right, guys. We raised you right.
Yeah.
When did we do that? A long time ago. How many of these dinners have you attended where they gave you chicken or roast beef? No steak. This is the first time I've seen steak.
Last recognition. We did have prime rib one day.
Oh, you're living over here now.
So good.
Mika?
Yeah, I live in Federal Way now.
Federal Way?
She moved to Federal Way for this job. That a week, right within a week, she took that job.
6 months.
I was there for 6 months. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't think you
were back
to that long.
And she said,
forget you.
Mm-hmm.
We're
down here.
The lighthouse.
The lighthouse. The lighthouse.
The lighthouse.
The most important thing
is
love your work.
Yeah. She works for Bowie.
Yeah.
Now, Justin's working too.
Yeah.
Different
department,
I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Punch press or what?
Good luck.
Mika, are you doing punch press work or?
I was doing deburring.
Deburring?
Yeah, I was doing that.
Uh-huh.
And then.
Well, that's getting your hands wet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're.
Then I learned how to use a hand shear.
Uh-huh.
And then I learned how to use it's like a mini punch press. Uh-huh. And right now I've been in the packaging department, so I'm packaging up the parts.
Of course.
To be sent out, yeah.
At least they're moving you around and you help me get a feel for the whole
Yeah,
thing.
I want to learn everything. Oh.
That was one of the first things Cindy did when she worked there, was deburring.
Yep.
Mine was too.
take your other mug away. Fresh mug. Never. Two green bags. Tea bags. You just be very careful. That's not. Should I put the tea bag in your cup for you? No, thank you. You got it.
I love the staff of this hotel. They go out of their way to make sure, you know where everything is positioned, and they almost want to do everything for you,
Oh, yeah. I can
imagine
complain about it. It's been really nice.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh, that's so good.
All right, folks. Give me a little help here. Give me a reading. How many people have not finished their main meal yet? Okay, so we got some main meal eaters. We do up here at the head table, too. How many people have finished their main meal? Now, that's the big eaters in the group. The majority. You want another couple door prizes? All right. Door prize committee, you're on.
All right. We have $25 from the United Blind of Whatcom County.
Okay, listen up now.
Andrea Demisio.
Hey, Andrea, congratulations. Way to go. How about one more?
Okay.
Our next one is $25 from the King County chapter.
Laura Rodriguez.
Yeah.
No? Okay. Okay. Well, Michael Alvarez.
All right. Thank you all very much. We're going to punctuate tonight with a variety of things for you. And right now, because I know that people may have places they need to go and It's Saturday night, and there are people here that may want to get on their way tonight. I don't know for sure, but let's have your attention, please. You may not know this. Probably a few of you do at this table and that table. We are so honored tonight to have a lot of guests who spoke to us, who met with us over the weekend, and who helped make lives better for blind people all over the state of Washington and well beyond. I can't even begin to name all the people. One name I do know is Dr. Stinson from the School for the Blind. Danielle Miller from the library. Luoma Duran from the Services for the Blind. And not only are they here, but a lot of staff from their organizations are here. Please give everybody here a hand. Who staffs these agencies, who work tirelessly to make our lives better as blind people. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. And we've got another little recognition we want to do. I have a feeling pretty much all of you enjoyed the meal tonight. Standing right behind me is the executive chef. Let's have your attention. The executive chef and some of his staff, I'm going to introduce him to say a few words for you, but I do want to say before I do that, as you may know, as president of ACB and working in all various affiliates around the country, I've eaten a lot of banquet meals. This would be, honest to God, in the top five of all the meals I have eaten. James, come up here and say just a word or two so people can hear your voice.
Thank you so much. We have a few of our staff up here I'd like to introduce, and if I choke on their name, it's okay. So we have Alma, one of our banquet servers. Lorraine, who's been with us for years and years and years. Michelle is one of our banquet captains. I have my PM lead cook, Patty, who opened this hotel 34 years ago. We have Sabina, who I could not run my kitchen without. And I have Sean Clark here. We just want to tell you what a pleasure it was to serve you and have you here. And we're just counting the days till next year. And this is Sean Clark.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. It's been a pleasure to serve you. Have a great night. We'll see you next year.
Hey, guys, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Fantastic.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Cindy.
Every time
we bring on.
Thank you. Isn't that wonderful? That is so cool. All right, so I'm going to work on finishing my main course in a second. And once the desserts come out and so forth, we're going to move on with the program. So stay with us. Don't go anywhere. And I'll be back very shortly.
If you do that, they're going to charge you.
All right, what you get?
She had it so nobody would know it's all there.
Wow, is that a nice big piece of cheesecake? Seven, seven,
she's a mean All right, Cindy, I'm going to get started here. Should get rolling here. Why, you got one left over? Okay.
What's that? No, absolutely not.
What's that?
Good. You're so charitable and giving. Such a pal.
I'll gladly help you.
There's two in front of us.
I haven't tried the cheesecake yet.
Pretty good cheesecake too, huh?
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'll get it sandwiched in. All right, folks. How many people out there would like to give me their cheesecake?
No.
No?
I can't eat it.
How many people haven't eaten their cheesecake yet?
There's me.
Like five or ten. How many people have eaten their cheesecake? All right. Well, if you... Yeah, Tim says how many more want cheesecake. Okay, so let's begin the program in earnest now, if we might. And if I can have your attention. I know we're all having a good time, and that's wonderful. We should, especially at a great anniversary like this. There are a lot of people over on my right... the left of the room that seemed to have a little hearing difficulty because they're still talking. All right, let's have your attention, please. And I want to start off, I just want to make a few remarks. I forgot to introduce myself. And I thought I thought folks would know who I was, and there are a few people out there who do. There's a few others who don't know who I am but read the program. But anyway, seriously, my name is Chris Gray. I was born and raised in Washington. I'm a charter member of this organization. I was president of the American Council of the Blind from 2001 through 2007. And I addressed you guys probably the last time in like 2004, 2005, something like that. But I consider this the affiliate that I started with. WCB was how I joined ACB. And I don't usually admit this, but that was back in 1970. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, but we've had it. We've had, so that's who I am. And it's such an honor and a privilege to be here tonight. Thank you. Yeah, all one of you. No, there was others after that. But, you know, one of the things I've heard today is a lot about inclusion of other people, hearing from other people that have other disabilities and so forth. And I often wonder, what is a disability? You know, I don't know exactly. I mean, for example, you know, I think being cheap might be a disability. All that squeaking tends to hurt your hearing and all that stuff. But did you ever hear about the Scotch guy? And for years and years, this guy's poor wife wanted him to buy her some new clothes. And the clothes got more and more ragged, and he just didn't pay any attention to her. She didn't know what to do. And finally, a friend of hers said, what you need to do is to just throw those clothes away and just don't wear any clothes. See what he does. See if he notices. So Friday night, Mr. Cheap Scots guy comes home. His wife, no clothes. And he doesn't seem to notice. Saturday, doesn't notice. Sunday, she's getting frustrated now, doesn't notice. On Monday morning, he gets up to go to work. He says, hey, lassie, here's 2 bits to get a shave. Now, that's one kind of disability, but did you, we have friends, the head table is reeling here, sorry about that, guys. Did you ever hear about the dyslexic agnostic? Now, here's a great guy. He wrote out in one of his essays, this is how they found out he was dyslexic, there might be a dog. So, you know, and then there was a friend of mine I told that joke to. He said, well, you know, I'm not dyslexic, but I do believe in God, just not one that takes attendance. So, you know, you have all kind of disabled people around. Another group that we never hear about, we never talk about this group, blondes. You know, I used to work for a blonde for about 5 years. And she was a great lady. She truly was a great lady, but she was a blonde. And you knew she was a blonde because she collected and guffawed at all blonde jokes. But you know the most recent blonde joke that's going around the internet and everything about the thank you, about the blonde who was on an airplane. It was heading from JFK out here to Seattle. And she was back in coach and so forth, but midway through the flight, she got up, walked on up to first class, and got herself a seat and sat down. The stewardess saw that. She said, well, ma'am, you can't sit up here. You've only got a coach ticket. She's like, well, I'm blonde, I'm beautiful, and I'm going to Seattle, and I'm not moving. Well, the head flight attendant came. Same old story. I'm blonde, I'm beautiful, I'm going to Seattle, and I'm not moving. They're getting kind of worried. They go up to the pilot's area and talk to the assistant pilot, and he goes out and tries to talk to her, and he comes back, and no difference. And the pilot said, did you say that she's blonde? And they said, yeah. He says, oh, no, look, don't worry. I speak blonde. Give me a second here. He goes out,
and he leans over and he whispers something in her ear. She pops out of that seat so fast and goes back to her coach seat, no problem. He goes back to the cabin with the other co-pilot and the flight attendants go there. What the heck? What'd you say to her? Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I just told her that the first class doesn't go to Seattle. It goes to Anchorage. I like that one, too. Well, I've got a little arsenal of these stories. I'm just going to tell you one more today. You know, there was we have a lot of guests here tonight, and you may not know that Donna Seliger is here from Des Moines, Iowa. Donna was my secretary in ACB from 2001 through 2007. Did a great job. And she was telling me this morning about how there's a knitting washcloth for every state in the union. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, there's got to be a joke for every state in the union, too. And so I have an Iowa joke for y'all. Do you know why all the football fields in Iowa are made with AstroTurf? You don't, do you?
No.
They are because it can keep the cheerleaders from grazing. I think Donna might have told me that joke. Seriously, though. So you see why I don't often tell jokes, you know? It's so great to be here tonight. It's great to be with an affiliate that I know well, that I've been to a lot. There's a lot of people out there that I have grown up with. People that, you know, you heard Deb Lewis talk about RSB, Rehab Services, in 1970. We were at RSB in 1970, and what a lot of memories that brought back. One of the great moments for me at this convention that really brought a lot of things home was that when Cindy gave her address the other day and introduced her family who were here helping her, this is all about family. It really is. So I've got some family here tonight. My mom, Shirley, is here. Back. We got together in June for her 95th, and we invited a few friends, but mostly family. And do you know that with the few friends, but all the family, we had 56 people at that party. It was so cool. My brother Gary is here tonight, and he's back from Alaska, probably for good. We'll see about that. So, Gary, give Gary a shout out. My beautiful wife, Marvelina, is listening online. She wishes she had a piece of that steak, but she said, don't bother about bringing it home. That's all right. So, you know, this is about family. It is about people helping each other. Sometimes we get cross with each other and all that. You know, it happens. But overall, we're here because we care about people. We care about one another. And we've been doing that in WCB for 25 years. And all of us have done that for a lot longer than 25 years in the variety of organizations which have come and gone in the state of Washington, just like in every other state. But we have a lot of things that we like to do to honor people and to help people. So in the help and honor category, let me start off with asking for a presentation of scholarships tonight. To do that, we have Tim McCorkle. Tim is chair of the Scholarships Committee. Tim, you're on. Welcome. Now, where is Tim?
Tim, I have a wireless mic if you'd like it.
Or a wireless.
Or do you want to come to the podium?
He's coming up.
Okay, he's going to come to the podium.
Yeah, come on up, Tim.
Are you going to take the wireless mic?
No.
Podium's right.
You need Tim, to go around the table if he's coming.
Yeah, you got to go around.
Well, I can just take.
Do you want the wireless?
Mic's fine.
Okay, here where, it is. All right, here.
Where?
There you go.
You're going to
put
your back
straight up. Just straight out.
So is
the,
are the...
You're right in front of everybody.
Okay. So you can just walk into me. To,
oh, perfect.
And then let me know when we're ready to go to the next one.
Okay.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Once again, I want to thank Cindy and the WC Board of Directors for your ongoing support to the WCB scholarship program. But most of all, I want to thank the WCB membership at large. You continually support this program year after year, and it yields results, and it will yield results well into the future. So thank you for your support and your faith in what the program is designed to do and what it endeavors to fulfill. We have a very diverse group of scholarship winners this year. We have 5 women and 4 men. They come from all over the state of Washington, from Yakima Valley, from Spokane, from Pasco, Vancouver, Bremerton, Everett, Bellevue, Olympia, and Auburn. So I think we covered much of the state. One thing, they are all at various stages of their academic career. Some are starting. Some have had gap years of decades. Some are near the end of their college careers. Some have finished their master's degree and are getting additional master's degree. They all have had different adventures in loss of vision or loss of sight. And then when I was sitting back thinking about this year's class, I just kind of realized it is WBC. They are what we are in that they're different, but they have the same challenges we all have. And what they also show to me is that they display an incredible degree of determination in pursuing their academic goals. So I'll start right now. 2 of our scholarship winners were unable to attend. The first scholarship recipient that I'll talk about tonight, her name is Maria Martinez. She's from Toppenish, Washington. She is currently a freshman at the Yakima Valley Community College, where she is pursuing an Associate of Arts degree in the legal assistance area. She is, as I said, a freshman, and this is... She graduated from high school in 1985, so in the intervening 30 years, she raised 3 kids. She worked for the Department of Social and Health, DSHS, for more than 20 years, and as she told me, is that now it's time for me to pursue what I really want to do, and that is become active in the advocacy area and working with folks that need my assistance. She is receiving a scholarship of $1,000 from the WCB. In addition, Maria is also receiving a $250 scholarship from the Yakima Valley Council of the Blind in memory of some of their members who have recently passed, namely Bud Cole and Judy Thompson. And I want to thank Yakima for that generous award, and my sympathies for your loss. The next person who is not able to attend tonight, her name is Delwad Jennings. She is a junior at Bellevue College, she lives in Bellevue, and she's a junior at Bellevue College, where she has a 3.67 GPA, and she's studying information technology with a specialty in software development, and she's receiving a scholarship of $1,500. And now to our scholarship winners who are here tonight. First of all, from Bremerton is Jessamine Lanby. She is attending Olympic College, where she is pursuing an associate in the technical arts in accounting technology. She has been active in both the South Kitsap Council of Blind and the Peninsula Council of Blind. And I'd like to say that through her work as treasurer with the PCB, that's where she discovered her interest and her enthusiasm for accounting. So let that be that not only when you volunteer for either a committee or at the state level or in a local chapter, you're giving great benefit to that organization, but you may find a future career. So there are benefits when you volunteer. Jess is receiving a scholarship for $1,000. Our next scholarship winner is from Pasco. His name is Eric Vasquez. He is a freshman this year at Columbia Basin College. He attended the OTC in 2014, where he served multiple terms as vice president and president. He also worked with the DSB YES program, and he wrote in his essay, that was where he realized that what he wanted to do was to become a teacher. And so that's what the degree he's pursuing is, an associate of arts at Columbia Basin with an ultimate goal of becoming a TVI. And Eric is receiving a scholarship for $1,500. Our next scholarship recipient is someone who has been here three times now. Her name is Shelby Kapler, and she's from Vancouver, Washington. She's a junior at the University of Wyoming, where she is carrying a 3.34 GPA, and she is studying for dual majors in international studies and Spanish. She's also pursuing a minor in disability studies, and she's in the honors program at the University of Wyoming. And during her free time, which I don't know where she finds free time, she is a co-founder and current president of a student organization on campus called Abilities, which is their goal is to advocate on the behalf of disabled students both on campus and within the greater Laramie community. When she first applied 3 years ago, one of the things she said, both in her interview and on her essay, was that she wanted to travel. Wasn't sure what career she wanted to do, but she knew she wanted to travel. And so I was excited to see and hear about her adventures in Spain this summer, where she took courses in Spanish. And that's one of the great things of our scholarship program. We let the students and the recipients set their own course, and we help them realize their dreams. And Shelby is receiving a scholarship for $2,000. Another familiar face up here tonight is Jeff Bowler. He is from Olympia, and this is also his third time receiving a WCB scholarship. Jeff received his master's degree this past May from St. Martin's University. He received a master's in education, and he's now a certified teacher in Washington with a special education endorsement. He decided that what he really wanted to do to fulfill his passion was to become a teacher of the visually impaired and an O&M. So he is now enrolled in the program at the University of Northern Colorado in Greeley, pursuing those dual endorsements, the TVI and O&M degrees. And Jeff is receiving a scholarship of $2,500. Our next scholarship winner is from Spokane, and her name is Tracy Feherin. Tracy is a sophomore at Spokane Spokane Falls Community College, where she is pursuing an Associate of Arts degree in social work with a goal of transferring to Eastern Washington, where she ultimately wants to receive a Master of Social Work. Her goal is to work in public health or social services advocacy. One thing I have to chuckle when we hear our interviews and we in all of our questions, we ask the candidates to talk about their leadership abilities. And Tracy would kind of giggle and say, I really don't have many leadership abilities. And I was like, I don't know, because Tracy is a leader without title, I guess, because she is very active when she was living in Guam. She is very active in the diabetes support group over there. She's also very active in suicide prevention. In Spokane, she's active with the Spokane chapter, also with the Beat baseball team. I also want to say one thing we get to see over the years when people apply multiple times is how they change, and it was just amazing to see her growth or what has changed in her life from last year to this year. So it's my pleasure to award Tracy a scholarship for $2,500. Next up is somebody that doesn't need an introduction, but I really want to introduce Steve. Steve Fixtall is from Auburn. He is studying at Fort Hays State University in Hays, Kansas, and he's studying for a Bachelor of Arts degree in Leadership Studies, and he will work in. His plan or goals is to develop his business in strength development and leadership training. He's a current vice president of the State Resource Council. He's currently the secretary of Washington Council by, and he's the president-elect. So Steve, we're awarding you a scholarship of $2,500. Our final scholarship winner is Wilson Charles. He lives in Everett. He's attending the University of Washington, where he's pursuing a degree in political science with an international security emphasis. And I think we all agree that we need some security internationally. He's also pursuing a degree in philosophy, and he's a member of their honors program. So it's pretty cool that we have two scholarship winners who are in the honors programs of the two premier universities in their state. Wilson is active within the local broadcast community as a program on KSER. He's also active in local politics in Everett. Wilson plans to attend law school after he finishes his undergraduate career and then pursue diplomacy with the State Department as a foreign service officer or advocacy for the rights of the disadvantaged throughout the world. So Wilson has received, this is his third WCB scholarship, and we're awarding him $3,000 tonight. So I just want to once again thank the WCB for your ongoing support of the scholarship program. And I especially want to thank our 2015 scholarship winners for having the courage to pursue your dreams and the determination to overcome the obstacles that you encounter along the way. And I want to thank you for helping me and hopefully helping the rest of us realize that we all hold the keys to our future. Thank you.
Tim McCorkle, Scholarship Chair, congratulations on a job well done. Scholarship winners, thank you so much for being who you are, for working on success. You represent, I would say the future, but with Steve in that group, I better say the present and the future of what can be done
right for blind people in Washington and around the country. Thank you all so much for what you've done. I think we better have a couple of door prizes. All right. Door prize committee, you're up.
All right. We have $25 from the United. Sorry, I'm having trouble. United Blind of Whatcom County.
All right, Whatcom County, good deal.
Yes. Alicia Garcia Gijon. Yeah, you're right here.
Okay, perfect. Thank
you. Yeah, you're right here.
Okay, one more. $25 from the cheesecake. South King Council of the Blind.
Michael McKillop.
Well, you hear Michael?
Raise your hand, Michael. He's like, give me my money.
Look at the other direction.
Michael McKillop is going to donate this back to the scholarship fund.
Wow. Wow, fantastic. Okay, we got more door prizes, but we have more business to take care of, too. And next, it is my pleasure, my honor to introduce a dear friend who I've known, well, back there since about 1970. How about that? She had a little bit of a different name there, but your chair of the awards committee, ladies and gentlemen, Julie Brannon.
Right up here, Julie.
All right. See if I got enough room here. All right. Well, I'm back again, you guys. Awards continue on and on. I'm coming here. I'm trying to negotiate the awards and the Braille and the microphone. There we go. I think I'm better. All right. We have three, and I'm going to say not outhouse again, but in-house awards that are framed, the last three that we'll be passing out tonight. Before I do that, though, I'd like to mention there are some chapters that got their Newsline articles in every time. And for those people who are new and don't know a lot about WCB, we have an award-winning, and we did get an award for it, by the way, from our national organization, Newsline publication. Mika White is currently the editor. It's an excellent publication. You can find it on our website. It comes out quarterly. I recommend if you really want to know the nuts and bolts about the organization and what's happening, please do look at that Newsline. It is excellent. We're pretty proud of it, actually. Yeah, give it a clap. It's a good publication. It really is. And these every Newsline that comes out, we ask chapters to write an update. And so these chapters got an update all of the times that the Newsline's been out so far this year. Greater Everett Area Council of the Blind. Yay, Everett. Clap for yourselves. Guide Dog Users of Washington State. Jefferson County Council of the Blind. There you go, too. King County Chapter. King. Peninsula Council of the Blind. Yay! Pierce County Association of the Blind. United Blind of Spokane. United Blind of Seattle. I get to cheer on that one. Yay, Seattle! United Blind of Tri-Cities. I think almost everybody got one in this year. United Blind of Walla Walla. United Blind of Whatcom County. And last but not least, United Blind of Yakima Valley Yakima Valley Council of the Blind. I got into United Blind there. Yay. All right. I think what I'll do, let me ask a real quick question. Do we want people to come up and we get awards talk?
We could also run the microphone. Too.
We're going to run the mics to those of you who are winning these awards to share something, because these awards are pretty special. Do we have a mic runner by chance that could do that for us? We have a handheld mic, don't we? Carolyn. Okay, great.
Should I use Mika's?
Yeah.
Yeah, use that one. Okay.
All right.
Oh my God.
Yes. And Carolyn, I'll have you take the award to the person. All right. I think you'll know most of who they are, but if you don't, they can raise their hand and let you know who they are. The three awards. The first one, and I want you to know that for this award and for another one that I'll mention, there were several contenders. It was an exciting committee this year, you guys, because, first of all, we had several people nominate people. Sometimes when you're chairing the award committee, you get one nomination for this and one nomination for that. We have seven awards that people can nominate people for, and it's kind of like scratching your head. Oh, dear, we don't really have anything to choose from. This year we did. That was exciting. Thank you very much. Let me mention my committee before I go on. And my committee was B. Shinneberry, Joanne Hunter, Kevin Jones, and Melissa Hudson. So thank you all very much. The first award, like I said, that had several contenders, and this nomination was made by Danette Dixon. The Outstanding Chapter of the Year Award is presented to, are you ready? Guide Dog Users of Washington State. Woohoo! Yay! And I'm going to read what the award says. Sherry Richardson, President. Under the presidency of Sherry Richardson, which began in 2013, GDUWS, which is the acronym, has again become affiliated with the American Council of the Blind Guide Dog Organization, GADOOS, we call it GADOOS, you guys, and Guide Dog Users of Washington State held a very special spring fling in 2015. This special affiliate is driving and empowering WCB Guide Dog Users. Signed by Cindy Van Winkle, President, November 7th, 2015. Congratulations, Sherry and group. Yay! Do you know Sherry Richardson?
No.
Sherry, would you raise your hand?
Got it.
Or stand up or
got
something?
It.
Or ring a bell? Whatever. Yeah, there you get your dog to bark here. That's right. Step on its paw.
Well, thank you so much. This was a real surprise. I had no idea. So thank you, Danette, and thank you, Awards Committee. And I also want to just and thank you, Guide Dog Users especially. I have to say today was just a wonderful day for us. I wasn't as nervous this year as I was last year. And I really enjoyed both our business meeting and especially our luncheon. So that was great. And I also want to say that we still have some 50-50 raffle tickets for sale. So if anybody wants some 50-50 raffle tickets, which are going to be drawn sometime this evening, I guess you need to find one of us. Who has them? Vivian? Vivian Conger probably has them. Thank you so much, guys.
Congratulations, Sherry and Guide Dogs. Yay. Very exciting. Our next award, and this doesn't have a ton of contenders because only one person gets to nominate, and that person is a newsline editor. And so Mika is the nominator for this person. It's called the Newsline Editors Award, and this year it's presented to, I always love announcing the names because, you guys, these are surprises, Reginald George. Yay, Reggie. Yay, Reggie. And the award says, for his product review articles, he has written two of them thus far, one in the June newsline and one for the September newsline. Both were excellent, with the June article called, and in quotes, called Talking Tags, Giving an Interesting Labeling Alternative. Reggie, it's signed by Cindy Van Winkle, President, November 7th, 2015. Congratulations, Reggie. You know Reggie?
No,
Reggie, raise your hand or stand up for Caroline if you would.
Now I see him.
Oh, you see him. She sees
well,
you.
Over here?
She sees his wife.
Oh, I see. Well, that's a start.
Well, maybe that really is Reggie.
Yeah. I accept this on behalf of Reggie because I am his editor. So I did help him. but he does the work. I just help the editing part.
Thank you.
Oh dear. A lady who knows her place, right? Yeah. All right.
I hope he's asleep.
Last but not least, and this award also had several contenders, and this nomination was made by Steve Fixdall. It's the Outstanding Service Award is presented to Cindy Van Winkle.
I know her.
You know, I have to say, Joanne and I were trying to figure out how are we going to keep it a secret from her when she's signing her own award. We had quite a discussion. So anyway, Cindy, I'm going to read it. You don't get to have it yet. All right, ready? With deepest appreciation for your consistent donation of skills, service, and time, Cindy is completing a second term as WC president in this year of 2015 and has been an active member for 22 years and in leadership positions since 1993. She goes above and beyond the expected call of duty in any of her leadership positions. It is clear that she cares deeply for the membership of WCB and is committed on a daily basis to being a service to its members. Cindy is a person of great patience and concern for others. Signed by herself, November 7th, 2015.
Well,
well,
I will say, thank you. This is, I guess, you know, Jeff said if you don't toot your own horn, who will, right? But the funny thing is, Joanne came over to have me sign the awards, and it was so busy and crazy, and I said, you know, I have a signature stamp. And I said, here, take this, and you can go take care of all of them and bring everything back to me when they're ready to go, and I'll make sure they get all packed. And so I really did not know any of these awards at all. And I did sign them with, well, it's my signature, but Joanne did the stamping. And one little little change, I actually have been an active member for 29 years this January. I joined when I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, and she is, so it'll actually be 30 years, excuse me, in January. So it's been 20, she's 29. I know, but I don't look like I should be a mother of a 29-year-old, do I? Anyway, you guys, it truly has been a labor of love. Thank you so much for the recognition. I accept it with great appreciation and honor. Thank you.
Oh, man, I love awards. I love scholarships. And, you know, just to indulge, since I'm the MC, I can do that, you see. Indulge for a moment. I can remember way back when Cindy came into WCB, and she was young and excited and enthusiastic. She still is. She still is. But my point really is this, that... there was a time or two when I saw Cindy make a minor error. Don't we all? Don't we all? There was a time when I saw Cindy falter a little bit, but she got back up and just went on. And don't ever think that that isn't something that we all have done, we need to do, and it's part of accepting one another and making WCB and all the affiliates of ACB what they are. We have maybe a bit of a solemn moment here before we go to our banquet address. 25 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, 25 years ago, when this organization was formed out of other organizations, a little bit of chaos in Washington, but it all came together to create WCB, there was a gentleman who came. He wanted to come this year. He's not able to because of health considerations, but I'm sure some of you will remember a guy who was the first vice president of ACB during my presidency,
Mr. Steve Spiker. He's an attorney from Lincoln, Nebraska. And while he could not be here this evening, Frank Kuda is prepared to play over the system a recording that he made for all of you tonight. Frank, can we hear Steve Spiker?
That Washington to a great deal of work and tribulation and meetings and debate, no doubt, had decided to get itself together, literally, at least to some degree, and how I was just sure that given the amount of effort and skill and talent demonstrated in those efforts, that that great and wonderful things could and should be expected of the Washington Council in the future. We certainly have not been disappointed at all in that. Every year, it seems, when I go to the National Convention, WCB has done something innovative, something new, something exciting that builds its affiliate. And not only that, but holds out hands to affiliates around it. To help them and to share the discovery that is made. So on this occasion, I would like to offer WCB my continued enthusiastic celebration of its abilities, of its sharing, of its work in this area to help all of us do a better job for our constituents and to have a good time while we do it. I'd like to thank Sue and also Frank for giving me the opportunity to share these remarks, and I wish you all a very successful gathering.
Unfortunately, Steve is in hospice care now. Send him your good wishes, your good thoughts, your prayers, whatever you do as an individual. And I'm sure he'll appreciate it, and we certainly appreciate him and this nice message this evening. Well, now it's my pleasure to introduce the banquet speaker for the evening, and I purposely did not collect a lot of data about her. I know that she has a bachelor's degree from the University of Washington, for example, and I don't know even what it's in, but it doesn't really matter, because what our speaker tonight is here to do is to talk with us about this organization, about her work in the organization, and I must say that Sue Amater has been an inspiration to me for a long time. I met her when I was in first grade and she was in fifth. She was one of those older students, you know. And she bossed us around pretty good there in that cab on the way to school. Sue became active in organized blind activities before I did and began teaching me what they were all about, what they were here to do. We took some different paths along the way, but nevertheless, we always worked to better the lives of blind people. And somehow or another, over the course of time, we got on the same path again. How about that? And that's a great thing, and that's part of what being in this movement is about. You go a little left, go a little right, and then go a little bit straight for a while. Y'all have been doing that for 25 years, and I'm so pleased to pass the microphone over now to a lady who's been president of more than one organization of the blind in this state. And even when we were in different organizations, we worked together whenever we could, and we kept the movement alive as best we could. Ladies and gentlemen, give a warm welcome to Sue Amater.
Right there in the center, Sue. Okay.
Hold on a minute, we're getting set up here. Okay.
Good evening, WCB.
Good evening.
Good evening, ACB Radio. Well, it's a real privilege for me to be here this evening. You know, when Cindy said to me, "We think you should be doing the address for the 25th anniversary," I said, "Oh, no way, Cindy." She said, "Yeah, you have the history, the knowledge. But I want to tell you something. I may have done this in other states for other conventions, but I'm not near as scared as I am tonight, or nervous. Because it's one thing if you do it in another state. It's another thing to do it with your friends and your colleagues. So be nice to me, okay?" Yeah. So, I want to talk a little bit about, surprise, surprise, advocacy. Can you imagine? And then I just want to give you some of my thoughts about WCB and where I think we're going. But I'm not going to talk forever because we've all been talked to all day. And I know you're all thirsty, so so I know what makes you happy. So, advocacy. You guys know how I love that topic. Every board meeting, they say, "Oh, man, here she comes." So I'm going to tell a few stories about me and advocacy. Some of you have heard some of these stories, but maybe not all of them. And I'm telling them because I think as these stories happened in my life, I could probably not have dealt with some of these situations, probably wouldn't have dealt with some of them, without the encouragement and knowledge that I gained through being part of the organized blind movement. And of course, a lot of you know I've been through a variety of organizations. I've been an NFBer, I've been a WCBer, I've been an ACBer, I've been a United Blind of Washington. I even started out as WSAB. But the thing that holds us all together is really and truly, no matter how we approach it, we're all here to advocate and help blind people. So I started out as a young green kid. Before my freshman year, I went to work at Haggett Hall, and I was washing dishes, and I worked it out with them that I could take the cups and glasses because that came down the row first, and it worked out really well, and it was no big thing, and I didn't even miss too many. And the folks that ran Haggett Hall were really happy with my work and said when school started, I could come back and work breakfast and dinner shifts, and it wasn't a big problem. So, boy, I thought I was hot stuff. So then I heard there was a job open at McCarty Hall. And I thought, well, I'm just going to call this lady up because I know she wants me. So I called and I said, "Hi, you know, I've had experience at Haggett Hall." "Oh, really?" I said, "Yes." And I said, "But I just need one thing." I probably didn't use the word accommodation because I don't think that word existed yet. I said, "But I need to take the glasses and cups at the start because I'm blind and that's something that just makes it easier for me." Well, I was also dumb enough to know that when there's that big silence on the phone, that means they're going, "Oh, my God, I'm not hiring her. What am I going to say?" And finally she said, "Well, you think I'm going to hire you and have you put your hand down the garbage disposal?" And I thought, "Lady, I'm not very mechanical, but I'm not stupid." So that job didn't work out very well. But Haggett Hall really did give me an opportunity actually to do that and to work between quarters, cleaning door rooms. What a crappy job. But hey, it paid $1.60 an hour. And in those days, you were glad to earn $1.60 an hour. And they would come behind me and make sure I didn't miss any spots. But they gave me a chance, and it was great. So I moved along, and one of my dreams when I started college is I thought, well, I want to be a physical therapist. I really wanted to be a nurse or a doctor, but, you know, that wasn't too open to blind people. And I had heard about a couple of blind physical therapists, And actually, when I went to the university, that's when I met Jolene Ferguson, although I didn't really know her. So at the end of my sophomore year, they said, well, we'll check you out and see if you can do it. So I had to buy my little white nurse's uniform and go there every day. Well, they would give me a variety of tasks to do and work with patients and so on. But the problem is every day they said I had to check my cane when I came, you know, put it in my locker. So, okay, I did that. I did whatever they told me because, you know, I was just wanted them to like me and let me into physical therapy school. So I finished my 6 weeks, and pretty soon comes my letter, and they say, well, I'm sorry, we don't want you. Now, remember in my first 2 years of college, I was working 15 hours a week at the Haggett Dish Room. I was taking classes like anatomy and physics and chemistry. I mean, I barely had time to chase boys and drink. I mean, it was terrible. But I did find time to fit it in. But anyway, so I get this letter, and it says, well, sorry, you know, you can't come to physical therapy school because you're blind. And for one thing, like when you came in and you put your cane in the locker, sometimes you'd fall over things. Well, duh, you know. And I got this letter, and you guys, I was devastated. Nobody had ever said to me really before, you can't follow your life's dream because you're blind. And I remember sitting at my kitchen table crying. And I thought, what am I going to do? And in those days, there was no laws. There was no ADA. There was no 504. There was no RCW 4960. So I thought, well, okay. So I changed my major to social welfare. Man, after physics and anatomy and that stuff, it was a breeze. Then I had lots of time to chase boys and drink and do, and have fun. And I also found a job that was better than doing dishes. But no, I caught John later on, but that's a different story. He wasn't even at the university. I caught him just walking down the road one day. He was from Chimicum. I lassoed him, boy. I'll tell that in hospitality. Anyway, but that must have kind of put the fire in my belly about advocacy because it didn't seem right. So I graduated from the university, and then in 1973, the Washington State Law Against Discrimination was amended, and it said that it would be an unfair practice or illegal to discriminate against someone in employment on the basis of a physical, mental, or sensory disability. So we had a law here in Washington 17 years before the ADA did in the area of employment. And actually, a couple of our first cases involved, the first one was the program for the blind, where Elko Canfield went to apply to be a counselor there. They said, well, I'm sorry, we don't hire blind people to program for the blind. So Elko filed a complaint, and boy, that was an easy one. We found cause for her in a heartbeat. And then a job came open at the library for the blind, this way predated Danielle and Jan Ames, where they were going to have a receptionist job open, and the nice librarian there, and she was really a very nice librarian, and she didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm sorry, I can't hire anybody who's blind to be a receptionist. And we're going, hello? So we had to file a complaint against her. So we were beating up on all the programs for the blind, I guess. But as a result, the person did get hired as a receptionist, and now we have, that was Corrine Watts Barker. Some of you might remember Corrine. And she worked there for probably 18, 20 years before she retired. We had several receptionists. And now, of course, we have two blind reader advisors at the library. But those were the wild and woolly days. So before I went to work at the Human Rights Commission and was beating up on these programs for the blind, I was asked to serve on a hearing tribunal. And in those days, if they couldn't resolve a case, the Human Rights Commission appointed a hearing tribunal of three people to listen to the case and make a decision. Now, usually they were attorneys, but they said they really wanted a person with a disability to serve on this tribunal, so they asked me.
Well, it was a case against the Milwaukee Railroad where this fellow applied for a job. He'd had a history of a knee injury. He wanted to be a brakeman. They didn't even examine him or anything. They just said, you had a knee injury, you can't work here. So we went to have the hearing tribunal trial. Well, first the attorney for the Milwaukee Road made a big deal because I wasn't an attorney. Well, that didn't go anywhere. But they decided to show this video called Getting Off on the Right Foot. Okay. And they were going to have this video. So it showed how you could be a brakeman. Well, at the end of it, the attorney for the road asked me a lot of questions, and it was obvious I figured out the movie. I mean, how hard is it to figure out what a brakeman does? Well, they appealed, and the case went to court. And it went to Superior Court, and Judge Goodloe, who was later elected to the Supreme Court in our state, pretty scary. So he came in, he said, Helen Keller was quite a wonderful woman, and she was quite accomplished, but, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. And I know that this nice woman, Sue Amateur, really couldn't be expected to make a judgment in this case. By the way, we found against the Milwaukee Railroad, that's because she couldn't see the video. Well, this could have had a real detrimental effect on lawyers who were making decisions, a lot of people. Ultimately, the case was vacated. It was pretty funny because I was sitting next to my supervisor, and I was kind of young and rowdy in those days. And so as Judge Goodloe was going on, and he grabbed me, he said, "Don't you say a word, you'll be in contempt of court." And he said, "And put that finger back in your hand." So I said, "I didn't do it." He said, "Yes, you did." So those were back in the good old days of the Human Rights Commission when the laws first happened. So I'm going to tell a couple other quick stories because Chris is my timekeeper up here. So we moved along, and in the mid-'80s, we decided to have some workshops where we would educate people about civil rights. And so we were kind of having a contest between whether Western Washington or Eastern Washington could get more people to conference. So I had occasion to, was going to go over to Spokane to do a news conference. So I was in my, you know, suit and nice raincoat, my briefcase, and I walked down the aisle in Alaska Airlines, and I usually like to sit in the front part, and I start to sit down, and my hands are just touching down the seat, and the stewardess says, "By the way, I don't want you to think the blanket is there because we think you will wet your pants." And I kind of, you know, you guys, as much as I had worked in human rights, I was flabbergasted. And I kind of just sat there and I went, "Huh?" And it was 7 o'clock on Monday morning, not my best hour.
Oh, boy.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, "Oh, my God." And I didn't say anything to her. I didn't even ask her name. I did all the things that I used to tell the people that used to come to me to file complaints not to do. And so I'm finally getting up to get off the plane, and this guy next to me says, "I don't know why they made you sit on the blanket. That's really stupid." I didn't even ask him his name. I mean, I blew everything, okay? So after I got off the plane and got over just being thunderstruck, so I decided when I went back, if they did the blanket again, I wasn't going to sit on it. I was going to make them carry me out, and I was going to be on Channel 5 News. There wasn't even a blanket. God, I was depressed. So I thought, okay, the next thing I'll do is I'll drink all their crappy champagne between here and Seattle. Well, the champagne was crappy, and they didn't give me very much. But I talked to this really nice lady sitting next to me, okay, who was a nun. I didn't tell her about this at all. We just talked. So I stomped off the plane, and John is waiting for me, and I said, "We got to go down. I got to talk to the supervisor of Alaska Airlines." And he goes, "Oh, God, what have you done now?" Because I was, and so we stormed down there, and I wanted to talk to them to resolve this, you know. And so the lady came out, and I started telling her the story, and she basically said, "You're a liar. That didn't happen." And I said, "It did." And she said, "I don't believe you." So I turned around, and the nun who had been sitting next to me was there, Sister Martha Berry or whatever her name was, and she was standing behind me. It was kind of like in the luggage line or something. And she said, I heard your story, and I hope you give them hell. So as a result, if you come to my house, because I did file a complaint against Alaska Airlines, and I did get some damages, and my mother said, you buy something for yourself. And as a result, I have a beautiful china cabinet with all my crystal in it. And, you know, Alaska Airlines kind of learned their lesson.
Yeah.
But the lesson I learned out of that, you guys, no matter how many years here I'd been a human rights investigator, when it hits you, when you're hit with discrimination, and it says to you once again, we think as a blind adult who's a professional that you're going to wet your pants, it hits you right where you live, and you don't quite know how to deal with it. It hurts. It hurt really bad, you know. And there were some nights that it brought tears to my eyes to think I still got a long way to go. But the final battle that I am proud of, and I'm proud of for me and for ACB, as a lot of you know, in 2007, I was diagnosed with cancer. And so John and I started calling around, and we called the American Cancer Society, called other places. And there was books at the library, but they were older. But nobody had pamphlets, nobody had brochures. And I thought, this is wrong. This is just wrong. So I went to our attorneys, Lainey Feingold and Linda Dardarian, and I said, we need to do something about this. And we got a group of people together, and we went to the American Cancer Society, and through structured negotiations, we worked it out with them that now when you call American Cancer Society and you ask for brochures on tape or CD, Braille, or large print, they're made available to you. And what that taught me was that out of a yucky situation in my life, I had to find something good to do that would give me purpose and something to some days get out of bed when things were really bad. And out of that, we were able to do a good thing to help people with cancer, not just people in ACB, but everyone who is suffering from this horrible disease. So I tell all these... So I tell all these stories tonight, not because I'm telling about me, because I do not think I would have had the courage, knowledge, or maybe even the integrity to fight these advocacy battles if I had not been part of the organized blind movement. So we're here tonight, and we're celebrating 25 years since our merger, 25 years of many men and women who have fought hard to continue good services, good programs. We are walking down a new road tonight. Now, finally, Burl isn't the only male president of WCB. He finally has another one. So we can't just pick on Burl anymore. But we're going to walk down a new road with a new leader, a new president, a new board, and it's going to be exciting. But we look back on the past 25 years and what we've done, where we've come from, and where we're going to be going. And 25 years from now, in 2040, we're going to have our 50th wedding anniversary. Our might be that too. Our 50th, what do you call?
Anniversary.
Now, I still might be here then. You can't say. I may not be running hospitality when I'm 92, but you can't tell that either. But I might go down there and have a little something. You can't tell that either. But I hope, and I'm confident, that when I come back here in 2040, we're going to be even a more vibrant, more awesome organization than we are now. Because we have the spirit, we have the vitality, and we have the caring that makes us such a wonderful group. And as demonstrated by this banquet tonight, it's been a true honor and privilege for me to have been asked to be your 25th anniversary celebration banquet speaker. I hope I've given you some things to think about. And all I can say is happy birthday, WCB. Go, gang. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue, very much. That was terrific. You know, before I was president of the old WCB, I went sneaking into an NFB of Washington convention one night, and I learned a lot. I watched Sue work that group. Oh, my goodness, what I learned that night. And she's just gotten better over the years. I hope we all have. I want now to just take a moment, if I might, and recognize former presidents, some who are here, some who are not. Let me begin by recognizing presidents of the merged Washington Council of the Blind. Sue Amater, 4 terms. God love you. How did you do it? Burl Colley, he had more common sense. He served 2 terms. I'm out of here. But then he gave it to his wife, Denise, and she did 2 terms as well. So I know he wasn't really out of there at all. Cindy Van Winkle, 4 terms. And I wind up the current WCB presidents, a lady who many of us loved and who cared a lot about this organization, Blind People, Sharon Keyran, 1 term. Now, there are other presidents who are in here, and I hesitate even to start naming them because I'm going to forget some. But let me see what I can do here. I think probably the oldest living, attending president of an organization that wound up in WCB has got to be a great friend of mine and an inspiration to me as a young kid. Are you here, Carl Jarvis? Yay! All right. Woo! We're not going to give you a mic, Carl. Sorry, buddy. But Frank Kuda has been a previous president. Sue was president. Sue was president of other organizations which have come to be part of WCB today. And, gosh, I think about, a few people in the original WCB that I might mention, if you don't mind. There's a lady out there in Radio Land, and I hope she is in ACB Radio Land. But I'd like to just mention the first president of the early WCB. His name was Ed Donnelly. Marilyn Donnelly was his wife. And Marilyn, if you don't hear this tonight, you'll hear the recording, and we love you. Yes. So, yes. I'm probably, I think, in this room, the oldest president of the Washington Council of the Blind, from 1977 to 1979. What an idiot I was. I was in graduate school. What the hell was I doing being president of an organization? But it was great, a great experience, and I had a lot of help and counsel from people like Durward McDaniel and people in ACB, and help from so many committed blind people in this organization. Other WCB presidents, Stuart Russell, you out there? All right. He was way after me. I'm not sure if he learned anything from me or not, but no, we went to school together. So, Stuart, thank you. A number of the original WCB presidents are no longer with us or are not here tonight. Julie Lynch, are you here? No, you're not here. Okay. So I don't think there are any other
original WCB presidents here. If there are, and I've forgotten you, my apologies. There are many who are with us, I'm sure, in spirit tonight, but we just wanted to share that little list of presidents with you for all of us to honor, remember, think about, and wonder at their ability to stick to it and make this organization what it is today. How about a couple more door prizes? All right, door prize committee, how you doing?
Okay. So first up, we have $25 from the King County chapter.
Howard Ferguson. Are you here?
Nope. Are you awake, Howard?
Okay. Felicia Aaron. Okay. Oh. It's somewhere. Okay. Julie Miller.
Well.
She's here. All right.
All right, Julie. Good for you. How about one more?
Okay. All right. We have $20 from United Blind to the Tri-Cities.
Melissa Hudson.
Hey, Melissa. Are you here? All right, beautiful, beautiful. How many more door prizes do we have left?
We have three and then a big one.
Three and the big one.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, they're all big.
All right. Well,
they're
tell
all
you
big.
What, we won't forget you.
Okay.
And stay right where you are. We've only got a few things left, and but I want to at this time invite to the microphone a lady with great energy, a beautiful heart, your current president, Cindy Van Winkle.
Thank you. If Christy Zach and Bruce Radke would come over to the table to my right, the round table, where my sister is. Are you both in the room? Bruce is gone. Okay, Christy, and do I have one other sighted volunteer that's willing to run around? Who said it? Lisa. All right, so Lisa and Christy, if you'd go over to my sister. One of the things, and I'm going to do a couple of things here tonight, but really quickly, the convention committee wanted to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the merger. And so, as you all know, the theme to this weekend was Keys to Our Future. And so we have a token for each of you, and it is a keychain that we hope you will take home as a nice keepsake and or use it. And on one side of it has the WCB logo, which is the outline of the state of Washington, with the WCB in print and in Braille in the center. And around the outside of the top, it says Washington Council. And underneath, it says Of the Blind and in print. And then on the other side of the coin, it's about the size of a silver dollar, maybe. On the other side of the coin, it says WCB in Braille, then in print. And under that, established 1990 EST, 1990 in Braille and in print. And they really turned out beautiful. So I hope that you will enjoy it, take it home with you, and remember this special weekend that we've all gotten to share together. Steve Fixdall, if you would please make your way up here at this time. Oh, I hear him making his way. So come around the table, please, to this side of the podium. So please just take one per person that's here for the keychains, and we will then have some left over later, and we will sell them for $10 each for those that weren't here. So you guys got a bonus, didn't you? So, all right. Steve is here. Come up here. So, Steve, I present to you as the incoming president a gavel. Here you go. This was passed to me. I pass it to you. And I, you know, my first time as president, I was sandwiched between two collies. It's true enough. I had the pleasure of the immediate past president being Burl Colley and my first vice president being Denise Colley. And they truly were strength for me. And you lucky dog, Steve, you have me and my BFF, Mika. So you are sandwiched between Mika and I. And I promise you, we will support you and we will be your right hand, your left hand, your backbone, whatever you need us to be. But enjoy your term as president. And I know you will wield that gavel with sincerity and confidence and patience and understanding. Congratulations.
Thank you so very much. What a day. Like I said earlier today, the thing that really I hope we carry forward and support each other is to always remember that because we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you very much. Let's have a quick door prize, and then we have a surprise after the door prize. So one door prize, if I could.
Okay, I got you.
All right.
So we have a Washington Talking Book and Braille Library tote bag, which just so happens to have $50.
Oh.
And that's from the Jefferson County Council of the Blind. I love this enthusiasm. I'm reading this upside down. No wonder I couldn't read it. Oh, Dean Stingham.
Hey.
Dean is going to donate this back to the scholarship fund. Thank you,
boy.
Dean.
Now, there's a true guy committed to education.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that. Now, we have a little surprise. I'd like to ask Mika White to either use the mic you've got over there or come forward, because I know you have a little something you'd like to present.
Uh-oh. Right here, Mika.
There you go.
All right, I'm tall. Hang on. Okay. Hold on, tall girl problems.
That's it, girlfriend.
All right. Lean over.
Sing into it.
Ooh, almost took my eye out. That would have been bad. All right, here we go. Man, the one good one. Okay. So I just want to say that, Cindy, your board, we absolutely love you, and we thank you for your leadership, your mentorship, and you just always being so positive and such and so empowering. And so the board has a present for you. Now I'll wait for you to open it, and then I'll tell people what it is.
Okay.
I had to do what she does to me, like, what is this? What do you think this is? It's not kicking. Oh, it's not ticking either. It is a quilt. It is a Seahawks quilt. That has been handmade. And we hope that you enjoy the heck out of it and wear it on game day. And we just love you. Seahawks, go Hawks and go Cindy. Thank you.
Want to go and put it on Jeff right now.
If there is someone who did not get a keychain, would you please raise your hand so we can get one to you? All right, there's one hand, we hear.
Two hands. Christy,
did you get yours? All right, good. Yeah, and, Cindy?
Yeah.
I believe the last thing we have is Lisa. So I'll do the door prize, Lisa, and a door prize.
Why don't you do all of the door prizes?
Oh, and then Lisa? Then,
yeah, because anybody that didn't participate in that, they might want to leave.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, so there's two more, like, really big door prizes. Should we give them out now?
Yeah!
Will you promise not to leave right away?
Yeah.
Either way? Okay. So let's have that first door prize, second to the biggest of the convention.
Okay. And if Carol Bram can make her way to a microphone. All right. So this is also another tote bag from the Washington Talking Book and Braille Library with 50 big ones. Shelby Kapler.
That's right. Do I do those before Lisa? Okay.
Shelby, raise your hand.
Oh, guide dog. Caroline, I'm not leaving. Okay.
And then did you want the last one?
Let's do the last one.
Carol?
Yeah.
Can you come over here? Carol's going to tell you what the last door prize is.
Okay.
We got you. But door prize first.
We got raffles. Oh, we're not done yet, folks. Although we are getting close.
All right, here you go.
Where's the basket? Where's the basket? Okay. In our basket, our exhibitors, some of them wanted to say a special thank you and donated. We have some Scentsy stuff here. We have Side Connections that has a ladies' watch. And just a second, I'm trying to remember what this is. It says amplifier, cordless phone, hear more, understand better. For the seniors, well, even I probably. And a crazy 8 card game. We've got a bag from the Library for the Blind. We have a bag with some goodies from Guide Dogs for the Blind. We have Guide Dog Users Guide Dog Toy. Jim Bryant won this earlier and donated it back to the box. And it's puppy bags for your dog. And then we... I can't see what's in this one, but we have some other goodies here. It's something. And we have Wags to You on CD by from Clark's Roberts. Now, I want you to know this is very special because when they ordered, they made a mistake on their order and they didn't put the face on the CDs. So he signed every CD personally. He signed the cover, and there's only going to be 13 of these, and this is one of 13. So that's going to be special, and if he comes to be very famous, that could be worth some money, guys. So, all right, let's have our winner.
Can I get an excited little drum roll going here? Last door prize.
Yeah, Washington drum roll.
Okay.
Good deal.
Sorry.
I'm trying.
Lene Nagel.
Is she here?
Lene, are you here? Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay, congratulations, congratulations. We have two raffles. The first raffle is coming to us from Guide Dog Users of Washington. And let's get somebody up here to make the drawing.
Okay, let's let Cindy, she's going out. There you go. This is the Guide Dogs first.
The number is 111421.
Do we know the color? 111421.
Beige one or gray one? Gray with red?
421.
421.
It's 419.
It's worth $120 bucks. Check your ticket.
I don't hear any dogs barking out there. What's going on here?
We might have to
Tim,
draw another
good,
one.
But,
That might be a lost ticket.
A few people are looking.
Oh, people are still checking. Let's give them a minute. Okay, we're trying another.
No.
Cindy, go again.
Cindy's drawing again. Here we go. Drum roll. Drum roll. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Did somebody find that winning ticket from before?
Uh-oh. The first winner, I think, just got found.
Oh, hold on a minute. What was that
they
first
were under the table.
Ticket? 421? You have it? We have a winner?
Who's the winner? Well, Sherry.
Oh, she's donating it back.
Good for you. That's
awesome.
The spirit. She's donating it back to the Guide Dog Users of Washington.
Okay.
$120
That's
bucks.
Great.
Now, let's have your attention. Hey. I know it's getting late. South Kitsap County. Council has an award, has a raffle.
Okay, these are for the green tickets. If you bought orange tickets from South Kitsap Council of the Blind, those will be drawn at our meeting. But if you lose it, it's not a problem because we have your name and your phone number. So that was for the other drawing. So do not panic on that. We are drawing the green one. Go for it, Cindy. All right, Cindy, draw that winner. Everybody's holding out good hopes.
Here you go.
All right. Okay, I'm the messenger. 161 are the last three numbers on your green ticket. So we'll give you a minute to look. 161. We'll give you time to look. Do we have a winner?
Who is the
All
winner?
All right, we have who is that? John McConnell, everybody, and it's $126.
Hey. You see, John, you stick around this organization, you're bound to win something. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not quite done. We're not quite done. And we'll have a piece of business that will actually go past the end of the official banquet. We're about to wind up the official banquet, and then I'm going to introduce Lisa George. For those who did the silent auction, you can stay and find out. For some of you who didn't, we won't make you sit through that. But let me tell you something. It's wonderful to be back in Washington. I'm so honored to have been asked to be your MC tonight. What a great meal we had. What a great celebration we've had all weekend long. And I want to thank you all for helping me be a part of it, for you being a part of it. Thank you again, and good night.
Ask people to put their names on the registration tags.
To do what?
To put their name tags on the registration tags.
If
Lisa's going to mention it.
Okay. So here we go. You won't hear from me again tonight, and I'm turning this over to Lisa George.
Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
I know.
Okay, everybody. This year for our auction, we had 46 items, which was up from last year. Okay, if you're leaving before I finish, if you can turn in your name tag. At the registration desk, there's a box. Okay? We had 46 items, $1,693 total. We had lots of winning bidders. We had 31 people who won items. Some people bought two or three or six. That's 14% increase from last year. And we had three items go for over $100 each. So thank you so much to everyone who donated. There was a lot of handmade things, and it was really nice this year. So I will be over on the far side. Oh, I can read all the winners.
Yes.
By item or just names, or what do you want to hear?
They want to know item and the name and how much it went for.
Okay. Okay, if you won multiple items, I've already got a recap for you, so you don't have to add in your head.
No.
Okay. That's a long list. I can email it out later. The Seahawks basket went for $95. Randy Tedrow got that one, and the Mariners tickets for $100. The wine clutch went for $16. That was Becky Bell. Saltstone lamps, $35. Andrea D'Amedio? Demetio, sorry, see, I don't know all the names. Victor Reader, number five, went for $65 to Chris Brame. The six Keeping It Cozy basket, $30 to John Coulter. The Seahawks base, $15, Haley Eggers. The wall height chart, number eight, was $20 for Sherry Dubbin. Number nine, Making Sense of UEB, $25, Stuart Russell. Number 10, the Greetings All Year Long, $25, Rita Dillick. 11, Whatcom Wine, $80 to Young Choi. $12, the Fall Basket, $25 to Arnold Kemeyer. The Baby Afghan, number 13, went for $20 to Betty Sikma. The FAO Schwartz Teddy Bear, $16, Joy Kelly. The Baby Quilt, $45 to Toby Willis. The Woof Doggy Gift Box, $50 to Julie Miller. The Seafood Nutcrackers and Forks in a Box, $25, Gary Gray. I had someone bid for me. I got the Handmade Treasures Basket for $33. Pecan Pie, $30 for Carol McConnell. Getting Warmer Basket, $45, Julie Miller. Pecan Pie, $25, Jeff Clark. Brownies, $17, Lene Noggle. The Picnic Backpack, $27, Becky Bell. Cookies Galore, $45, Mika White. The Jewelry and Travel Pouch, $30, Haley Eggers. Beer Basket, $25 to John Coulter. The Brown Purse, $20, Rick Plath. Seahawks Jewelry Set, $25, Haley Eggers. The Bowls and Potholders, $20 to Danette Dixon. The Wine Basket, $40, Mika White. The number 12 Seahawks Bracelet, $5 to Christy Zach. Dragon Naturally Speaking Software, $22, Jeff Bowler. Becky Bell got items 33 and 34, the crocheted men's and ladies' hat and scarf, each for $6. The Geek Stream bag that had the iPhone 4 in it went for $57 to Linda Wickersham. Canadian chocolate goodies, $30. Jeff Tom, who also got the Purdy's Associate Assorted Dark Chocolate for $40, and the Whip Shortbread for $20. He got some goodies to take home on the plane. WCB Auction Quilt and Pillow, $40 to Rita Dillick. Tabletop Christmas Tree that had all the mini ornaments on it, $50, J.N. Miller. Tabletop Christmas Tree that was the red and green, $30 to Donna Seliger. Brick House Robusto phone, the cigar box phone, $100 to Glenn McCulley, who also bought the other cigar box phone for $100. He totally shut me out of that one. The standard size back tea pack went for $23, Sherry Richardson. The handmade birdhouse, $45 to Becky Bell. And the gift basket, the last gift basket, $50 to Jay Ann Miller. So the total was $1,693. And I'm going to be setting up on the far end, and you'll have to come over. It's cash or check.
This is Frank, and we're still doing sound over here in the Washington room. If you have an assistive listening receiver, and I think there's just one of them left out, can you bring it to us here in the Washington room?
You guys, help me thank Lisa George for all of her work in organizing that. She is amazing. So thank you, Lisa.
Oh, I should mention, the sound crew over here in the Washington room did not get keychains.
How many people did not get them?
Four.
Okay. Come see me. We'll make sure you get them. I don't know who you are, but I guess is that Frank, David, Deb, and Rick?
I work for Central Kansas School District.
Oh, yeah.